What it says in the papers is off air this week, so we have been bringing you an agricultural version of it. And this week I am joined by Niall Sargent, current affairs correspondent with The Currency, and Stephen Robb, who's the renewables editor at the Irish Farmers Journal. Now, the agricultural story, and that's been dominating, I guess, farmer and non-farmer press the last couple of days, is the proposal by the Minister for Finance, Jack Chambers from Fianna Fáil, to postpone the implementation of the new residential zoned property tax. Niall, we have heard a lot about land rezoning in this last week, and you wrote an in-depth article for The Currency on it. Can you give us a snapshot of what's going on?
Yeah, so just turned out to be good timing that we were looking into the issue. So this is going to be the new scheme that's coming in, basically to try to encourage sites that aren't been used to get developers to actually build on them for the housing crisis that we're in. So it'll be a tax at 3% of the market value of the land. It's, like I said, predominantly aimed at more brown zone sites in towns and cities to try to get them developed. But obviously the issue that's developed is farmland has also been accounted for in that. So if there's farmland that is zoned for residential and has connection with water, electricity, etc., it can fall under the net. And it turns out that there are a lot of active agricultural lands that is falling under it. So what we were looking at was appeals that are going in against this. So if you're...
No one has actually told me. There's been a lot of talk about active farmers, and I think everyone is in agreement that active farmland should not be taxed. If you look at like land, for example, that would be worth maybe €1 million, then a farmer is facing a tax bill of €30,000 a year, which would be crippling. Yeah. But no one has actually told me how many farmers are in this net. You looked at the number of appeals that farmers have put in. How many appeals have farmers put in?
So there's, from what we looked at, about 100 appeals came in just there before. There was a deadline of the 1st of August, and as usual, everything comes in one wave. So there's about 100 plus appeals that went in, mostly developers for sites, some individuals. But there's 14 appeals in relation to active farmland.
Just now, 14?
Yes, but that's only going to be a fraction of the reality of how many farmers getting caught up in this. Otherwise, it wouldn't be such a political snowball that's been developing over the last while.
And would everyone have been contacted by the local authority?
Yes.
And this has been going on for a while now.
Quite a few years. It's been in development. There is the vacant site levy that's about to be... This is the replacement for that. So there was issues around that with active farmland as well. They made some workarounds with the residential zone land tax. They kind of just restarted the whole thing and entered these problems again. So if your site is on the map, you will be contacted by the local authority. You have an opportunity to put in observation or submissions to say why you should not or be included in the tax net. Then if that's unsuccessful, you can go to On Board Pinola to appeal that. But you have to be realistic. Most farmers aren't going to have the time or the skills or resources to be able to bring a proper appeal to the planning authority to hire maybe a planning consultant. That's more expense. And also there was an opportunity on the draft map as well. And farmers did put in submissions, and all the ones that we looked at, they all got refused and said, look, it's zoned residential, it's connected, it doesn't matter to us if it's active farmland, that's the rules as they are. So it seems like quite an unfair system for an active farmer to have to potentially be looking at another fee to pay.
And I guess the counter argument is that we need 50,000 homes a year. We are in the midst of a housing crisis. Stephen, what are your thoughts on this?
I think it's no surprise that they kick the can down the road another year. So in other words, it's another government's problem.
Yeah.
Because as you rightly said, this has been battering around for a long time. Like, this was a hot topic at the ploughing last year. So it was. And they still haven't been able to crack the nut.
It's been pointed out to me that the Taoiseach has been at more agricultural shows recently than most farmers. Is there thinking here that this is potentially a political tool maybe?
Oh, I think it has to be. Yeah, given how close we are to a potential election.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll leave that with the listeners to think about. The derogation, there has been a lot of talk about the nitrates derogation this week. Ireland's is due to expire on the 1st of January 2026, but we still don't even know about stocking rates for 2025. Can you sum up briefly, Stephen, what has the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, announced, I guess, in the last week?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have the blueprint comment on how Charlie McConnell Logar, Minister of Agriculture, plans to retain the derogation, which as it stands is up in 2026. A lot of pressure building on it. In fairness, there's about, 10 points, give or take. A lot of them aren't new. For example, water quality advisors or a €60 million innovation programme. That was all announced or up and running already. We knew a lot about it, but it's still included in the plan, which is fair enough. Some of the new points, Hannah, I suppose, there is going to be a 70% grant available for farmers to build slurry stores to import slurry. So you might have a situation where a dairy farmer is potentially producing too much slurry. You'd have a tillage farmer who's not getting enough slurry, so they want to try and marry that relationship up. So a tillage farmer could get a 70% grant to build a slurry store, lock into a contract with a dairy farmer, and it potentially could work quite well. That's now open for applications. As well as that, there's going to be a separate grant aid scheme for livestock farmers, but really aimed at dairy farmers, for a 60% grant to build a slurry store, a nutrient storage store on their own farmyard. That should be open from January 2025. Well, probably the most boldest move in this plan is a proposed new and separate exempted development threshold for standalone nutrient storage facilities. So in other words, they want to bypass the planning rules and allow farmers to build a slurry store without having to go for planning. The reason for that being is that there's been an awful lot of objections.
I detected a bit of a chuckle though when you were saying that. Do you think it's realistic?
I think it's going to be very challenging. I think it's going to be, like, we have planning exemptions in place for, you know, for some agricultural buildings, for solar panels or for small scale wind turbines. But look, I guess a slurry store, it's a different animal. So it is, yes, look, and target it in the right place for the right farmer, you know, it would be quite useful. But I just think it's going to be very difficult to get through.
Niall, when we talk about nitrous derogation, we're really talking about water quality. And I guess there was a piece there earlier about Loch Ness and the algal blooms there as well. And in terms of the EPA figures, with everything that's been announced, can we or do we stand a chance of reversing the water quality in Ireland and getting to where we need to be?
At the moment, I can't see that happening. I mean, there's been progressive reports from the EPA every year that there was one a few months ago just saying we're kind of, the levels are flatlining or the same as they have, which you could say in one effect that might be seen as a positive thing in terms of it's not getting worse. But the problem is we're at such a poor level, it has to get better. And until it gets better, I can't see that there will be a continuation long term of having a derogation.
It is serious, though, because, I mean, figures from a report that was written by Niall Hurston in the Farming Independent, over 40% of Cork's livestock are dependent on the derogation. That's a lot of livelihoods.
Yeah. No, it's a very significant impact coming down the line. And that's why these measures that have been brought in, they do seem kind of like a band-aid to a much bigger wound. Like it's a longer term issue. Bringing in the grant aid, bringing in the storage is necessary. I know Niall Hurston looked at the issue around the slurry export issue and storage last year. We looked in depth at that as well. You know, there's so many issues on farms with storage that councils, when they inspect, that is one of the issues on water quality, that we don't have the proper storage. So we definitely need it. I guess the issue is you can have the storage, but at the moment, and you talked about earlier the issues around AED, there's no real other outlet apart from spreading on the land. When it spreads on land, that's when the water quality issues come into effect, not so much that we don't necessarily have the correct storage while an issue.
Well, I guess the idea of the storage, though, is to allow you to hold on to the slurry to such a point where you can actually use it when the grass is growing, exactly, and pick it up, which is a good thing, in fairness.
Stephen, briefly, now you are a tillage farmer.
I am a tillage farmer.
But you do want to talk about the harvest. So tell us, how has it been this year?
Yeah, look, it's been challenging, so it has. Hannah, there's no two ways about it. We're, figures from Siobhan Walsh in the Farmers Journal say we're about 35% through or so in the harvest. Look, tillage farmers had a bad harvest last year, difficult back end, difficult spring, and now we're getting a difficult bloody harvest again.
But grass is slow for any farmer out there.
Grass is slow, but we're just not getting a run at harvesting, so we're not. So as well as that, we have a lot more spring crops this year, so the bulk of the harvest is still to come when the days are getting shorter and the weather's getting a little bit more broken. So it's still all to play for. The more worrying thing is that grain prices have taken a bit of a tumble this week. We had a very high cost year in the tillage sector. The crops that are standing in the field were a lot more expensive to grow, and we need a decent price to cover it. Now, we won't get the price, we won't get the harvest price until October, so there's still time to recover. But it is a very worrying period, especially considering that we have a target to increase our tillage area up to 400,000 hectares by 2030. And yet it is another target which is going to be very difficult to meet.
But obviously the price of straw bales will still be very reasonable for all my fellow beef and dairy farmers
absolutely,
out there.
Absolutely, they will, Hannah, yeah.
Briefly then, Niall, just tell me, there have been animals trapped in County Wicklow, but it's a different form of trapping because it's kind of camera trapping, isn't it? Caught on camera.
Yeah, it's a really interesting piece in the Wicklow News there in the last week about, so essentially it's a project to setting up camera traps in the woodlands around Wicklow to see how many wild animals that they can trap. It's based on a European project. UCD are running it with Rewild Wicklow involved as well. So it's a great project. They set up hundreds of traps, thousands of sightings. I guess the downside is the majority of sightings were of sick of deer, which we know is a big issue, farming community, forestry as well. But on the positive side, the red squirrel is coming back. That was the second biggest sighting. And one of the reasons probably for that is because the pine marten is also showing a really good comeback in the mountains.
So some good news
positive
there.
But deer are still dominant, so we do have issues to solve there.
And Stephen, very briefly, the donkey sanctuary in Donegal, because you brought the paper with you.
I sure did. This is a story by Donegal. Meehan in Donegal News. So we all know the pressure that livestock farmers are under with the cost of feed and straw, but what about the poor donkeys? So speaking to Donegal News this week, manager of the Donegal Donkey Sanctuary, Danny Donkey Curran, that's his name, spoke about just how expensive it was to nurse a donkey back to full health. He said this time last year we were paying €80 for a giant square bale of hay. In May we were paying €140 and it's starting off at €150 now. So please spare a thought for the poor donkey.
We will indeed. Stephen Robb and Niall Sargent, thank you very much for that.